Mick, we have an off week in golf. FedEx Cup playoff number 2 ended last Monday, which makes everything feel stranger. Justin Thomas, his 5th win of the year. Him and that Jordan Spieth guy playing all those junior tournaments together, that's not a bad idea, is it?
Those young guys, they come out ready to play, don't they?
Oh, my goodness. They're both less than 26 years old. Let's see. I think Spieth has, what, 14 worldwide wins, and Thomas has 6 or something ridiculous. And they both are major champions. Both are FedEx Playoff Cup, have won an event there. Well, other than that, I think the game's in pretty good hands.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, my golf note of the day is that Phil Mickelson was a captain's pick for the President's Cup. And
that's 23 international teams in a row he's made.
I'm glad to see it. I think Phil is a consummate team player, the kind of guy that everybody wants to be around in the locker room and on the course. And I think he's good for the team, good for team golf in general. So I was happy to see that he made the team.
I don't think that's any kind of a surprise, because we know Phil's going to be a captain here before we know it, and you keep those guys pretty much in the mix. He joins Charlie Hoffman on the President's Cup team. That'll be the last weekend in September at Governor's Island in New Jersey on all of that. Tour is off this week. They'll be back at Conway Farms in Chicago next week, the 3rd of 4 FedEx Cup playoff events. Mick and I would love to do golf for the next 20 minutes, but we're not going to. We're going to talk actually about some city business. And you had a council meeting last night,
not
Keith.
A council meeting.
What was this?
It was a public testimony on the accessory flats.
Testify.
Thing that we've seen on. So, Mick, talk about that, because the city has a version of that, and you're trying to get some public input.
Well, the Plan Commission approved a project that the city administration was supportive of, and that is allowing accessory dwelling units, also known as granny flats or mother-in-law apartments, a whole lot of variety of other names.
Airbnb rooms, is that what we're calling them as well? Does that fit into that description?
Timeout rooms, I don't know. You can call them a lot of things.
Panic room, yeah.
But essentially, so they're already in existence. There are people that have them. If you have a garage, a detached garage from your house, and you've got a loft over it that you can convert into a bedroom, that's essentially what could be an accessory dwelling unit. If you have one of those type of elements attached to your house, again, using the garage example, with something over the top that you can convert to a bedroom or two, that's what an accessory dwelling unit does. It allows for a second place for someone to reside on the same property. So,
but does this have to do with new construction too?
Yes, you may, if you have a lot and you follow the guidelines,
okay,
the setbacks and the size. There's some limitations about how big an additional, you know, so to speak, garage with a loft on it, or just a separate tiny home or accessory dwelling unit. You can build a detached version, 440 square feet. I always remind people, just think about your bedroom, and it's probably bigger than your bedroom, but not by much. So 20 by 22 is 400 square feet. And if it's attached to your structure, it can be 600 square feet, so 30 by 20, just to give simple math. So they're not real big spaces. The intent is to allow people to age in place, or if you have kids are coming home and living with their parents now anyway, if you don't have the space in your...
You don't have a basement. You put them in the garage.
You don't have a basement, yeah. You could put it on, put them out in the garage, or you could make an accessory dwelling unit and allow a related or non-related adult to live on your property.
So what's the downside, Mick? Why are people afraid of this?
Well, I think the downside and the fear is that in neighborhoods where there's not a covenant that restricts these from happening, because a lot of the suburban mm-hmm. neighborhoods restrict these by their covenants. So if you think of the core neighborhoods, they don't have these restrictions, that they may turn into student rentals. I think that whether or not that's true or not, we won't know till we start to see these materialize. Our sense from the administration side was, because of the regulation that you, the owner, have to live in the unit that has the ADU attached to it, why would you want to rent to an unruly student crowd and cause
your own life to be happening? Well, Mick, there's some unruly adults that aren't students as well. Why did the students get a bad rap? Why is the rental just rental in general?
Well, I'm with you on that. I think that's a knee-jerk reaction a lot of people take, is that all students are bad renters or are going to cause problems in neighborhoods.
Students that move out of the crazy neighborhoods to be in those places seem like the smart ones to me.
So that is the fear, and so I respect that people have that concern that it's going that, or it, you know, takes up additional parking spaces on already tight infrastructure,
yeah, absolutely,
in front of homes. So those are all, you know, legitimate things to think about. Administration's proposal was to do this as a pilot program. Let's get 30 of them out there, see how they work, and then we'll reevaluate and, you know, change the rules if we need to. That did not make it through the amendment process last night. That was what was originally approved by Plan Commission. The council amended it, and the council voted in favor of the amendments that not only restrict or actually take away the pilot nature of it now, it can happen indefinitely, but also make it that anyone who wants to do an ADU has to go in front of the Bloomington Zoning Authority. That's a lay citizen's body that approves conditional uses on property. So now if you want to have your mother-in-law or your granny or whatever else, a student or whomever, live in an accessory dwelling unit that you own or you build, you have to go in front of this body and get permission.
Now, we thought you have to get permission for who's in it or the structure itself?
Well, essentially, for the structure itself. But our notion is you're going to have to tell this lay citizen's body who you're going to rent to.
Well, do these people that are going to all of a sudden be landlords have to follow fire code?
Of course,
They have to have it sprinklered. They got to do this. They got to do all the things that go along with being a landlord, right?
All the building codes still take place. There's some, you know, different setbacks and lots and things that are added to this ordinance. But essentially, you know, you can't create a shack. It has to be a livable space and be,
and that'll all be inspected and all of that good stuff, just like anything else.
That's
trying to alleviate people's fears here that some tent city is going to pop up in somebody's backyard.
I would be a little concerned, though, Mick, about somebody being able to tell you who you could, if you can rent to one person, that's fine. But to tell you who you could rent to, well, you can't rent to an old person. You can't rent to a young person. You can't rent to a person of color. I'd be concerned about that.
Well, I think we are, too. We did not see the need to have the conditional use component of this as part of the ordinance. We thought that it should just simply be, you know, there are other ways to deal with problems with a neighbor other than having another set of lay citizens tell you who you can and can't rent
Bingo.
To. So that was the administration's take. It didn't go through that way, so we'll just see how it goes. I'll say from our research that if you want to use Portland, Oregon as an example, they had a very restrictive ADU ordinance 20 years ago, and for 20 years no one built one because it was difficult and onerous and no one wanted to go through the steps and the bureaucracy. Then they realized that their affordable housing challenges were growing so greatly, and I'm not saying this is completely about affordable housing, mind you, but it is an element of the
That's
array
right.
of things you can do to help make places more affordable.
Well, grandma's on limited income. She needs a place to stay.
So Portland took off all their restrictions, and now they have 2,000 of these. Now, Portland's 650,000 people, so I don't want people to start thinking, oh, my gosh, we could never have 2,000 in Bloomington. We wouldn't ever get that number. But we have a more restrictive ordinance, so it's likely that we'll be on the slow development side of ADUs as a result of the ordinance that passed.
We're speaking with Mick Renneisen, the deputy mayor of the city of Chicago.
Hey, Mick, congratulations on your promotion.
I got a new job, Keith. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
thank you.
City of Bloomington. Hey, Mick, we're going to be talking to Adam Wason about the receptacles for the new trash and such, but you have an announcement that they're going to start distributing those things soon.
They will. So starting the second week of September, the carts will start to be delivered. And
what will they do? Just
cart,
drop them off in your driveway? Where are they going to put them?
Yep. I know where you are.
There'll be some instructions inside the cart. They'll drop it off in the front, just like you would have left your trash out the night before. You'll now have a brand new shiny cart.
And
with
the
some
trash fairy arrives with brand new carts for girls and boys. That's
exactly.
right.
Exactly.
Hey, my biggest question, Mick, is are there restrictions on where I have to put this? In other words, can I put it on the side of my house, or can I leave it in the driveway, or do I have to put it somewhere where nobody can see it? Except when it's out to be picked up.
Or build a trash hole like I
do.
Well, those sort of two separate things. When you put it out, now the new equipment that we will have to lift these has an arm on it. It's either a side or a back arm, depending on where we access your house. So if you're in a typical residential street, you got to put it out on the street, on the curb, where we can just pick it up with the arm, drop it, and we just drop it back down. So
there's instructions on the top that shows you which way to point it to make everybody's life
easier.
Another company I use. I don't live in the city.
I've
been doing this forever. So you roll it down there.
I'm going to have it right at the edge of the driveway.
Yeah, I mean, the arm on the truck is not going to be able to reach up, knock on your front door, wake you up, and have you pull it out and say, hey, let's go.
Well, I don't know how long the arm is. Yeah,
well, that's right. It's not going to scratch your back when it's done. You got to be close. Where'd you put your old trash, Mick? You put your new trash. It's not difficult.
Yeah, well, pretty much. That's right. You just know that the arms do have, as you just said very eloquently, the arms have a limited distance. They can reach out and grab the cart and dump the contents and then put it back down. Keith, I think you wanted to know, too, if you got the wrong size, you realize that
was my
35
big thing.
Gallons or 64 or 96 wasn't quite right for you after you use it for a couple weeks. Can you exchange it? And the answer is yes. For 60 days, you can exchange it for free. You'll just contact our sanitation department, let them know that you have the wrong size and you'd like to correct that. They'll do that free exchange one time in the first 60 days of the program.
My other dumb question was, is it okay if I put the trash in the container in one of those garbage bags, or do I just put it in there loose?
Yeah, the bag's preferred, and that's
good.
Because, you know, when they dump the top out,
yeah,
if it's windy, then anything that's loose could still blow
there
out.
There you go.
The
All
truck.
Right.
So,
that's
yeah,
what
we prefer the bags, and when we hope that. I think it's, again, a message you'll get in your new carts to explain the preferred methods for managing your trash and your recyclables moving forward with the new cart system, which we're very excited to get out there and, you know, looking forward to the feedback we get from the community as we start rolling out the new system.
Adam Wason's going to join us on the 19th and the 3rd, so we'll get him right after the carts come out and right after the new system starts, so we'll answer all those questions. Mick will help us out on Thursdays as well with
Do
all
Do you
of
have
that.
The trucks, Mick?
A couple of them, and then there's a couple of more that we are, the chassis construction is taking a little longer, but we have made arrangements with the company to get some loaners out, so we'll be ready to roll on October 2nd.
Perfect, and that's when it all kicks off. Remember, start to whittle down your stickers, too. Don't buy 1,000 of them now because you're not going to be able to use them. Refunds will be made available in October. When we get closer to October, we'll talk about that, Mick. I don't want to talk about it now because I don't want people worrying or thinking about it. Just
go
about your business here for the next few weeks, and then we'll let Adam help with that here in a couple Tuesdays.
That's good advice.
Now, you had something you wanted to mention about what the mayor is going to be doing.
Yeah, he's got busy.
The mayor's going to read preschool story hour at People's Park tomorrow from 10 to 11. In addition to reading some of his favorite children's stories to kids that will be at People's Park, he'll dedicate a little free library in the park and speak about the importance of early childhood education. There'll be free ice cream, compliments of Hartzell's for any kids that are attending the event. And while you're there, if you haven't walked by People's Park in a while and you want to hear the mayor read to some kids in the morning and get them some free ice cream, take a look at the new art.
What about their parents, Mick? Let's get to the important stuff.
Yeah, hey,
what about me and Mike?
You guys get to pay, but your kids get it free.
That's good.
You painted the wall there in the park.
Yeah, the new mural on the wall, on the bicycle garage wall there, is a new piece of art that was commissioned, and it's quite striking, very Bloomington-ish, and I think people will enjoy it. I hope you take a look at it. Folks will certainly see it that go there tomorrow, but anybody else is just kind of doing some things on Kirkwood, stop by, take a look at the new mural there. And then
you're painting the garage on 7th Street, too.
Outside my window yesterday, I turned my head and looked, and I'll be in a day, they painted half of almost three-quarters of the north-facing wall of the 7th and Morton garage. It is striking. It is colorful. It is attractive.
Well, I would hope so.
Very well done. I'm very excited about that. We have some other public art projects coming out in the near future, and I think Sean Starowitz, our assistant arts director in ESD, is doing a magnificent job, and I'd like to credit some of the artists, but I don't have their names, so when I get those next week, I'd like to mention the people that are helping Sean get some more public art out there. It's quite striking to see the 7th and Morton garage. It looks dramatically different, and I think in a very good way.
I missed trivia last week, so I need to get ahead of Mike. Let's do that.
All right, here we go.
All right.
So this week, City of Bloomington Utilities announced that they'll be replacing some things, and you have your choice of what those options might be. Is it A, utility meters, B, utility service trucks, C, water mains across the city, or D, drip drop, the utilities department mascot?
I know this, so I'll let Keith go first.
I don't have a clue.
C, water mains.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, we're in a pretty expansive water main replacement. I think trying to get the number of linear miles we have of water lines in the city, it's extensive. I'll get that for you guys. We'll use that.
Is a water main what I call a fire hydrant?
No.
Well, that's a component of it, but it's the lines underground that
feed
homes and businesses and hydrants, of course.
All right.
So there's quite a few miles of that, and that's what they've been working on replacing. Part of that's with their new bond issue that they did to replace this infrastructure. Going to be 70,
Mike's
80 years
one
old.
And O on me.
That's right.
Yeah. What's
all
next?
Right. You guys should be aware of this next one. We just talked about it. The city sanitation division has just released a timeline for the transition of its upcoming modernized sanitation plan. Under the guidelines, trash sticker refunds will be administered on select dates at, where can they do this? Is it A, City Hall, B, the Saturday's Farmers Market, or C, both, A and B?
I'll go A and B.
A and B equals
yep.
C.
You can do both. You can certainly come into City Hall, go to Public Works, and this is after, of course, the new system starts on October 2nd.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody up to date on that.
Redeem any trash stickers. You're going to talk about that later. So we'll pass on that one just to know there's a couple places you'll be able to do that to make it easier for residents who have additional trash stickers with the new program and is begun in October. And final question, the latest emissions inventory indicates that the Bloomington community lowered its greenhouse emissions by a significant percentage between 2006 and 2016. What was that number? Is it A, 10%, B, 13%, C, 15%, or D, 50%?
I'll go with 13 because it's an odd number.
I'll go with C because that's always the answer when you don't know it.
Ah, Keith, gotcha. 13% it is.
Lower
emissions. Thanks to the Bloomingtonians who are paying attention to our impact on the planet and doing so locally, thinking locally and acting.
Hey, put a note in your
globally and that's a significant dent in greenhouse emissions.
Absolutely.
So thanks for people for thinking about that.
Speaking of water stuff too, we saw the cardboard plant perhaps coming through. Can you give us some more details on that next week about how that could affect our water and treatment and all that thing as
well?
We'll
do. Yep, we'll do.
Okay, because that was interesting. I didn't want to let that get through the cracks, but we're out of cracks right now. So we'll do it next week. Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time as always.
All right, thanks, guys.